Good morning, everyone. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 this morning. I have a question for you. Do you think that we are better informed today, more so than any other time in human history? Do you think that we have a bigger picture of all the facts, more so than most people have had throughout human time? I remember not too terribly long ago, but it is going to date me, and some of you may remember and understand a time before time like it is right now. It seems to me that it wasn't all that long ago, but when I think about it, it really was a long time ago. I was having dinner with a couple, and there at the dinner table, the discussion moved to politics, and I was asked, did you know that there is now channels on television that are dedicated to playing the news just 24 hours a day? It's nothing but just news, news, news all day long. And as an arrogant young man, I said, not only is there a news channel that runs 24 hours a day, there are channels on television that you can shop from, that you can buy all manner of junk at any hour of the day. And the conversation moved from that, and a few moments later, the gentleman gets up and goes to the salad bar, and the wife leans over and says, I like to shop on that channel. And I felt this big. And then she said, my husband likes to shop there too. And I felt even bigger. It seems to be that the way things are today is we just cannot get enough of the news cycle. We love to watch it, to stay informed and just stay right there in the cusp of it. And I think perhaps more so than any other time, it seems that we are really politically divided. Depending upon what our preferences are or what we like, we just love to talk about politics, and as though politics provide the answer for us. The politics can certainly create a lot of division among a lot of people, and politics certainly can get you really worked up as you start to talk about policies that are in play today around our country and around the world. But the crazy thing about the news, it seems to be that the more news we get, it seems to be the greater divided we become. This morning, we're going to look at a king's wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. As we start to understand the landscape, and I want to tell you right now, as we get into this message, I recognize as Americans, we don't have a king per se. That we don't bow down to subjects to a king as would have been in Solomon's day, or it even back in 1775, like we may have done as Americans bowing down to the king of England. But there is such an important message this morning about the responsibility of those under the ones in authority. How in the world should you and I respond in title? We do not have a king that we bow down to, a political leader of say that's called a king. There is certainly a great principle that will help us and give us comfort right now, especially in this time when it seems to be that there are so many questions. And it is very, very easy right now to have so many worries and so many anxieties. And the important thing that we take away from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, is that we need to trust the king and we need to follow the king even when it's difficult. And I'll tell you what, for our leaders right now in our country, I can't even begin to imagine the weight that they are carrying right now. We're going to talk about that. And then I would like to close our service with a very special time of prayer for those in authority over us, because there is very much at stake for our well-being, but there is so much at stake as we reprioritize our heart and understand who exactly has all the answers. As we've been working through Ecclesiastes, the questions, the observations that the preacher has been making throughout the book has really revealed for us the problems of the worldviews of so many people that hang their value system, their life values upon the wrong stuff. People who are so obsessed with trying to gather more, and the observation is this, that no matter how much you get in this life or how little you have, we end up at the same point in this journey we call life. And then our time here is brief. And how important it is that you and I do so wisely, that we live our life not just in human wisdom, but that our lives are directed by godly wisdom, surrendering and submitting to our Lord Jesus. It's how we find and how we value our life that's revealed in the way that you and I live our lives each day. And we've been working through Ecclesiastes so that we could have a healthy perspective and that we would not have those anxieties or worries even in times of great crisis, but that the rock of our faith would not be shaken because our faith is built in Jesus alone. Now, it's a way of throwing curveballs at us that distracts us from moment to moment, and it just seems to be that there are always surprises around the bend that sometimes shake us and sometimes terrify us, and that is just the way it is. You know what I'm talking about. Something happens at work, or something happens with our bank account. An event happens in our family, or maybe we reveal something about our health as we find out there's a terrible diagnosis. Depending upon how we view and how we value ourselves really does make the difference of how we live out our life from day to day. And the observation that Solomon makes in Ecclesiastes that there is a greater purpose in life than simply just living here. That getting by moment, day by day, taking the next breath. Sure, that's what life looks like. When every time you take a breath, that's a demonstration of life. But what if there is something more than just simply breathing? We know from the scriptures that a hope-filled life purposely and intentionally thrives in surrender under Jesus the Son. So this morning as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, we are going to see this morning that godly wisdom recognizes and honors the God-ordained authority that God has placed on the shoulders of the king. This morning we've got 2 points, keeping the king's commandment and wait on the king. As we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 5 this morning, would you read along with me as we look at our Bibles together? Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his faith shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Let's go to Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time together. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we lift up your name. Lord, we pray for your strength and we pray for your comfort. These are difficult times that we are living. There is so much turmoil in this world, but Lord, just as you are in control of the circumstances of our life, and just as you are in control of all life in this world, you have appointed your under-shepherds. You have appointed authorities to which we can look for direction. So, Lord, give us the wisdom to trust, to remember to pray for, to be accountable to the leadership that you've placed over us. Lord, give us a healthy perspective of where we stand and the tremendous weight that our leaders carry. Lord, would you use our time this morning to encourage us to remember the importance of praying for our leaders daily? We ask these things in your name. Amen. As we look at the importance of keeping the King's commandment in verse 1, there is great encouragement and hope for us this morning as the observation is made, and it's this: a wise man knows where to turn, especially when he doesn't know the answer. It's right there in verse 1. Who is as the wise man? Who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? Who knows exactly how to interpret the situation? Remember back in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, when we saw these words: better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Isn't it so much easier to make decisions in hindsight than it is in real time? When you and I look back and we see the way our journey went, it's so easy to make a sound decision based upon what we should have done in that moment. We can go back and we can look and see where we made mistakes or we had particular victories because we have the luxury of being able to look back and seeing the whole big picture from this point backwards. But it is so much harder when we try to make decisions based upon the future, because in truth, we really don't know what the future holds. And sometimes that can be incredibly frightening. So it's better to get to the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Remember when we looked at that just a few weeks ago, how some people, and it's really difficult not to be driven by a sense of nostalgia, to long for the good old days. But if you and I live so much in the past that we lose sight of what God is doing in the future, we live a life that is really held back. And the secret to surviving, the secret to thriving as we come into uncertain times is found in that sense of patience, waiting on the Lord, trusting in Him. When the times seem tough and the road seems rocky, remember that the wise man takes comfort in knowing who holds the solution to the problem. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, we looked at this one: consider the work of God. Who can make that straight with which He hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, and in the day of adversity consider, God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. And it is really easy to follow God, to praise His name when things are going well. But when times become uncertain, and when life becomes difficult, our fears sometimes take over, and we do a whole lot more worrying than we do trusting. But remember, who is in charge and who is in control? And that our circumstances may change, but the hand of God, the providence of God, which as we've looked back throughout our history, as you look back through your life and you see, as that poem, the footprints in the sand, in those times where there was only one set of footprints, that was when He carried us. And we lose sight of that perspective. The wise man understands who really is in charge. That's why godly wisdom follows the counsel of keeping the commandment of the king. I think this is interesting that we have in Ecclesiastes. We come to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 2. And there's a charge here about following the advice, following the counsel, following the wisdom of the king, keeping his commandment. Because who's the speaker here? Solomon. What hat did he wear? The king. Don't you think that sounds self-serving when the king says, listen to what the king says? But who better equipped to tell you to listen to what the king says than the king himself? But I want to ask you a question. Whose kingdom is it anyway? We're dealing with perspectives here. And when you and I speak about living here in America, we speak in terms from the bottom up. You have the best view of your life. You've got the best perspective over what your day-to-day affairs hold. So our perspective starts from us. We know where we're at. We know what we're going through. We know what our worries and our anxieties are. And you and I have a great view from our perspective, a great vantage point. And beyond us, what do we have to worry about? We have to worry about the affairs of our household. How in the world are we going to pay the bills? How in the world are we going to get food on the table? How in the world are we going to be able to do what we want to do and save up for tomorrow? We worry about taking care of our house and our family. And then beyond that, we worry about our community on a local level, maybe even bigger. Anybody in here this morning just confident and proud that you live in Alamance County? No hands this morning? Okay, let's just open up. North Carolina, is it a pretty good place to live? It's getting a little bit better. America, anybody, you're proud to be an American this morning? Can I get an amen? Okay, I was worried. To our community leaders, please work on Alamance County because we need some help this morning. But we look at our perspective, we see our life from our vantage point, we worry about those closest to us and taking care of our household and our impact in our community, and then we look to our leader and we refer to our leader as my president. Do you do that? Maybe sometimes you say your president, my president, but we look at it from the bottom up. The area, and that's because that's the areas that we control most. You know, you've got the power to control and influence your life, the life of your family, and your family and you are able to impact your community. But we're all subject to our king because we work from the bottom looking up. But the king or those in authority, they rule from the top down, from their perspective and from their vantage point. Because the king looks down over his kingdom. You know, your little kingdom is the little piece of property that you call home. And your subjects are those people who live inside the castle walls of your home. But the tremendous power and the tremendous responsibility that rests upon the king who's over his kingdom. You know, that's the entire, if you're talking about here in America, we've got all the borders. And if you're looking at the map, you've got Alaska and California right off the coast. I mean, Alaska and Hawaii right off the coast of California. Several years ago, we were in the youth group. We were talking about where in the world was Alaska. And someone said it's off the coast of California. So where did you get that? It's right there above Hawaii. Well, I guess in a scope of the globe, it might be above Hawaii, but where in the world do you get it? Well, every time I look at a map, it's right there, just a few inches across from California. It's right there, and that's not exactly the truth. But when you think about the borders of our country, what we would call our kingdom as Americans, the kingdom that we're a part of, there's a whole lot that takes place in this country of ours, day by day. And you and I have such a local perspective. This starts from our house and maybe our community and even inside of our state. But think about the leadership in Washington that has to keep track not just of inside our borders, but everywhere we've got military bases. Everywhere our citizens are, and we have delegates, we have ambassadors at the embassies. Everywhere Americans are, our leaders have to worry about us as their subjects. And the decisions that a king makes over his kingdom affects the kingdom households. And it trickles down to affecting the kingdom subjects. So from a king's vantage point, he's looking down over the kingdom and he has to manage the entire scope of the kingdom. Because he's looking from the top and he can see a greater perspective. And you and I, what we can see and what we control. So in some sense, maybe you can sympathize with the pressures of a king because you know about the effects and the pressures upon your household. So whose kingdom is it anyway? And you know what? It's interesting to also stop and think about how in the world what unit of measure do we use to value a king's reign, about how successful they are? I'll tell you, if I'm listening to 24-hour news cycle, it has to do with the economy, or how much wealth or treasure is in the kingdom, how big the population is. I know we're getting ready for the census this year. Or even our health, and that's certainly really big in the news right now. How well do you define our leaders are doing? Is it based upon the economy? Is it based upon how much money you have in the bank? Is it based upon how big our people, how many people we have, or even just the health of our people? I know a lot of people can let go a lot of morality just based upon if the economy is going well, that's really what we need from our leaders. But I want you to know from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we do find the answer for that unit of measure. And I want you to know it's not how well the economy is doing or how much money you have in your bank or how many people we have or even what the quality of our health is like here as people. A king's value is measured in terms of fidelity, allegiance, obedience to the king. Fidelity. So we look at verse 2, the latter part. Solomon says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment and that in regard the oath of God. There is a responsibility to the subjects to honor the king. And following the king's orders is built into the oath to follow that king. You know, supporting a person is something that we can do with our lips. Well, I support the president and I support his policies. We say that. Sometimes we say that. Sometimes we disagree with the president. Sometimes we disagree with his policies. Sometimes we disagree with the administration. And that's sometimes how you and I determine how well we're doing as a people is how much at the time. But the principle this morning applies in times where we aren't in support of the administration because it may not represent all of our values. And in times when it especially does. There is an importance for you and I to understand this morning the obligation that we have as subjects in following the king's orders because of the oath to follow the king. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 24, and all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. Tonight we're going to look at the struggles of Israel's early kings and the pressures that they faced. But look what happened here. You know from Israel's history, there was King Saul, then King David. And when the transfer of power went from King David to King Saul, what were the people's responses? It was to cast their subjection under Solomon, to recognize his leadership. And recognizing his leadership meant that they would follow his direction, that they would follow his orders wherever He took them. So we look at verse 3, and we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Stand with the king even when circumstances are difficult. Because it's really easy to follow the leadership when things are going well. When the economy's booming and there's a lot of money in the bank and there's a whole lot of us or our health is really well, but when times get shaky, that's when the king feels the most pressure, do you think? That's the way it is? I mean, we're answering this from the bottom up this morning. Actually, we're looking at it from the scripture, so that's from the God's eye view down. But as we see the charge here this morning, remember, keep the king's commandment. And stand with him even when circumstances are difficult. The king may be perfect, and he is accountable for the choices that he makes. And God will hold him accountable. In Psalms 89, verses 30 through 36, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. That's got to be a great promise for Solomon and ruling and administering in the kingdom, to remember God's commitment to his father, David. Because we serve a covenant-keeping God as demonstrated through the life and through the history of Israel. But the king is ultimately accountable to God for his choices. We need to remember that. In some sense here in America, our leaders are accountable to us politically because we have the power to vote them in office, vote them out of office. But greater than the power or the authority that works as described in our Constitution is our leaders are held accountable to God for their choices. So don't turn against the king when his orders are difficult. He's going to stand accountable for the choices that he makes, and you and I will stand accountable for the choices that we make, and don't turn against him, and don't turn against his orders when the circumstances are difficult. We have an obligation as subjects in this transaction that takes place of the authority and those under authority. This is a model. This is a system that was designed not by us. It is God's ordained design. Look at verse 4 with me. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? And in some sense, yes, our leaders are accountable to us. We just talked about that a few moments ago. But remember that authority over us didn't just originate from our Constitution. In fact, it is God ordained. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So while our leaders are accountable, and while they are accountable to God for their choices, our responsibility is to stand with them, especially in times of difficulty. Standing together as a people. Standing together as a nation. More so than ever, we see our country is divided And how tragically so. Because if you were to think that wisdom and knowledge and just having a bigger appetite for the facts or having more information come into our houses every day, that it would seem to draw us closer together, all that news cycle seems to do is just drive us further and further away and divide us. But remember, who established this order? It is God ordained. And as we look to verse 5, we see that following the king's commandment impacts both the king's kingdom and myself. Look with me at verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And I understand, as we look back at history, there was a time when, in the course of human events, it was necessary to rise up against the tyranny. And that's how our country was born, was rebelling against the king. But understanding the importance, especially today, failing to follow the king's counsel, following to keep the king's instructions, certainly does impact the kingdom and affects us. We see this as called lawlessness. If everyone did what was right in their own eyes, we'd be living under a system called anarchy, where people just did as they pleased. And there is great struggle when people live as we please, because we don't make good choices, because our hearts are ruled and directed by sin. But a wise person understands and recognizes the authority over them, because it's good for the kingdom, because it's good for me. Think about it. In Solomon's day, in David's day, in Saul's day. Saul, let's go back to talk to Saul for just a second. King Saul, when he was ruling his kingdom and as David was rising in prominence, what was King Saul's worries in his kingdom? Was it about, oh, that's so great. Look at this. We're so victorious in battle. David, my faithful subject, is going out and he's conquering our enemies. No. King Saul was saying, I'm watching my power crumble. And I'm going to lose a grip on this, and the people are going to throw all their support behind David. So I'm going to have to call for David's life. David does the same thing with Uriah. When he makes a bad decision, he says, well, you know what? I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to send Uriah to the front lines, and we'll deal with it that way. Then there won't be any question about the way I behaved or what I have done. Kings have this power to be able to decide who lives and dies, it seems. We see it today in times of war when our leaders, our president, will send our young men and young women off to fight in conflicts around the world. And you know what? That goes all the way back to the authority that's described, it's introduced for the Declaration of Independence. And then the Constitution ratifies, it defines the limits and the scope of our president's power and authority. The executive branch, we see how our government works through our Constitution. And in some sense, even though it is just a piece of paper, it really does establish for us who lives and dies in some sense, because there are people who will go off and fight. And there are consequences because of our laws for people who live lawlessly. And we hear about it all the time, about someone being given the death penalty for the crime that they've committed. And the authority to make that decision has come from the government. So the decisions that you and I make don't just affect our kingdom, it can affect us. And if you want to live lawless and you want to live destructively, no, there's consequences that come with that. The point I'm trying to make this morning is following the king is easy when times are good, but it's not so easy in times of hardship, because we start to cry and question, we want a new leader. We want someone who's going to do a better job. And this is the weight of the king. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, because to every purpose, there is a time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen, and applied my heart every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. So before you start a revolution this morning, know the harms of rising up against the king. We see that in verse 6. In verse 7, we see that not even the king knows what tomorrow holds, even though he may have a better forecast. It is so easy for us to be armchair quarterbacks when we're watching a sporting event. Or we'll be able to make the calls from our armchair. You know, we're not there on the field fighting in the game. But it's so easy for us to holler and complain about the decisions that the leadership makes. But when you start talking about politics and governmental policies and the way people respond in times of crisis, can you just imagine the amount of information that we are protected from on a day-by-day basis? What's more encouraging to you? How much we know about the threats that we face day-by-day as a nation, or how few we know about that we face as a nation because our government, our leadership is doing their job and we're protected, and the threats that we hear about never ever become anything more than just a threat because they've not only isolated, but they've neutralized those threats. Oh, the king may have a better forecast because he's ruling from the top down. And that's his advantage point that gives him a greater perspective of the kingdom. So you can look down over the field to see what's coming out. It would be, would it be in your interest to dig a hole in the ground? Like a foxhole? Is that how you would do it, Brother Clifton? You'd get in a foxhole. It would become a foxhole when you got in it. But having a higher vantage point, you can certainly see more of the field. And ruling from the top down, the king has a greater vantage point. So trust the one who knows what the future holds. But before you jump to conclusions, remember, not even the king knows that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, here's a great comfort for right now, this moment. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. And you and I find our comfort in knowing the one who knows what tomorrow holds. That's not the king. We should trust the king and we should keep his commandments, but the one who gave the king his power and his authority, and it wasn't you, and it wasn't me, and it wasn't necessarily our constitution. It's God himself. And he knows what tomorrow holds. And for those of us whose faith may be shaking and we may be concerned, and rightfully so, we should. And it would be wise to exercise good judgment in these uncertain times. But not trying to hasten our end. But our comfort and our confidence isn't to how well we can protect ourselves. Our comfort is trusting in the one who holds the future in his hand and knows exactly his timetable and who's in charge. And while the king may decide who lives or dies, the king ultimately doesn't hold power over death. You know that our president could just sign an order today and declare war on the world, or he has the power to push a button and unloose our nuclear arsenal. And you could say, well, in that capacity, he does have a tremendous amount of power because the world will end. We know it will end because we've got enough stockpiled nuclear weapons that we could destroy the world four or five times over. So the president certainly has the power to determine who lives or dies. No, because he doesn't have the power over his own death. He can't stop death for himself. In verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. So we look at verse 9 as we draw to a close. Sometimes the king doesn't make the right call. Sometimes the king doesn't get it right. In verse 9, all this have I seen and applied my heart under every work that is done under the sun. There is a time when one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. Sometimes the king is difficult and makes unwise decisions and does bring oppression upon his people. And it's really easy to get upset with the king whenever he makes life uncomfortable for us. But wisdom is stepping back. Wisdom is looking at the circumstances and remembering our obligation, as it started out right there in the beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 2. Listen to the counsel to keep the king's commandments. And that you and I need to pray that the king makes wise judgments. And here's how we pray. We pray for his kingdom. We see how that affects us. And we know, as his subjects, how to pray for the king's decisions. Because he certainly sees a whole lot more than you and I will ever see. He's got a greater perspective on the day-to-day affairs of this world, and we need to pray that our leadership makes sound decisions. And we need to pray for his heart. Because if he's ruling from a place of his own selfish desires and his own wickedness, it's going to bring trouble upon us. And if he's ruling from what he thinks is best, that's just like people living in the day of Joshua, who did what was right in their own eyes. We need to pray for our king's heart, that the righteousness of God would rule and reign in his heart, that he would make his decisions that impacts the kingdom based upon pleasing God and not pleasing an agenda. Godly wisdom recognizes and honors the God-ordained authority structure placed on the shoulders of the king and the tremendous weight that the king carries should remind us of the importance that we need to remember daily to pray for our leaders. Here's our response this morning. To be honest, there's not enough genuine godly wisdom in the world, and that you and I need to pray for our leaders. So keep the king in your prayers. And you know what? Our hope, our answers aren't hung on our sitting president or the next sitting president, or the president after that, or the president who sat long ago. It's in Jesus. And only Jesus can give a new heart to live the life of righteousness. So to be wise and exercise godly wisdom in following the king's instructions, and remember to pray for our king. Remember to pray for our leaders. As our prayer this morning is this: Lord, give me the wisdom to follow the king whom you've appointed for this time of rule. Because the principle that's here doesn't impact just an administration that we approve of and we're absolved of responsibilities when we disagree with the administration. You and I have an obligation to remember our place and to lift up and to remember and to pray for our King. As we do so this morning, I'm going to invite you to do something a little bit different. I would like for you, wherever you're at, to take a few moments to pray for our leaders. There is so much at stake right now. When you think about just the normal day-to-day operations of our country, so many decisions, and we look to those standard usual markers, the way that the stock market's performing, how well our retirement account is doing, but more important than our wealth is the fabric and the integrity as American people that has bound together our honor, our freedoms, our liberties, the tremendous weight that rests on our leaders today. It's not the time to rally. As you hear people say, they can't wait. They're hoping someone will fail because they disagree with them. It's the time that you and I purpose to stand together to lift up our leaders. Not just on the national level, but in Raleigh, in Graham. And while you're praying, don't forget to pray for the leader of that little kingdom that you call your home.